As I've said earlier, this is our last in our Psalm Fest series. This is number 10. We've had a great time. As Rich said, you know, it's been good. We've looked at lots of Psalms, but we've only touched the surface. We've scratched the surface, really, of the immense depth and, I believe, incredible blessings which are contained within the Psalms. So I encourage you to keep reading and keep using the Psalms, of course. One of the challenges was to read a psalm a day. Hope you've still been doing that. And once you get to 150, the easiest thing is you just get back to number one. You start all the way through again. It's cracking. There's so many, and you've forgotten number one and 150 by the time you get halfway through. It's brilliant. So, and keep writing too. Keep creating. And thank you to everyone who's sent me and contributed to the creating of the Psalms. It's brilliant. And as I said, we'll see and hear a few more. And hopefully in the next few weeks, we may even squeeze one or two others in, because I've still got a few stacked up which people have sent. So don't hold your breath, but, you know, be a part of that. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that as life goes on and things happen and change around us, and perhaps as things get much more complex and uncertain, and we struggle with life and the things of life, and trying to understand it, trying to pull it together, we need to refocus, don't we? We need to reorientate, and that becomes necessary. You know, we need to find, as it were, our compass points again, because we can get so easily distracted. And it doesn't matter how old you are, what has caused the disturbance in the force, as our Star Wars fans would say, or how long we've been a believer, even, these feelings, these questions arise for all of us from time to time. It's part of being human, because we're living not where we're designed to ultimately go, but we're here on earth at this point. And so there's tensions, and it confuses us, and sometimes we lose track. But even though we know the truth deep down, and we know who God is and that He is there, we can so easily lose that focus. And we can drift, therefore, off course quite naturally and lose our bearings. And at these times, that's when we need to reset our compass, as it were. We need to find that north point of the truth of who Christ is again. And this is where the Psalms, I believe, are so brilliant. They can really help us, because they're honest about the struggles and the frustrations. They express the writers and their hearts and feelings and the circumstances they're facing, and we can relate to it. Many of them we can relate to. Perhaps not, you know, going out with a trying to smash the marauding hosts who are attacking our city. No, that might not be something you can relate to, but there might be others and other circumstances. And they help us express, therefore, what's going on within us and bring us, in lots of ways, back on track, because they get us to refocus on God in the heart of it. You agree? Hello? Yeah. Just because it's a sermon, don't quick turn off, all right? Honestly. Now, in some ways, I believe the two final psalms which we've picked today, which we're going to look at, Rich has looked at the one, Psalm 150, but I just want to go for 149 as well. And I believe that they can help us bring about that reset, that reorientation. Not only because they're like the bookend of all the psalms, you know, they come right at the end, but because they contain three incredibly important words that top and tail both of them. Three words that appear many, many times throughout the whole of the Psalms, and even right across the whole of the Bible. Words, in fact, that define, I hope, what our Psalm Fest has all been about. What three words am I thinking about? This is about like celebrity pointless or whatever, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, no matter how we say it or how many pictures you can have, those three key words are essential. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Or hallelujah, as it's sometimes translated in some instances. But either way, they are pivotal words. Pivotal words. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Why? Why? What's it all about? Well, let's read Psalm 149 and 150 and we'll have a look. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise His name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that He honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of His faithful ones. Praise the Lord. And then Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Getting the point. Getting the message now. Yeah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise Him. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with a blast of the ram's horns. Praise Him with the lyre and harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and lutes. Praise Him with clash of cymbals. Hallelujah. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Even greater hallelujah. I needed somebody on the kit, don't I, to do that. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's say it together. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean? What does praise the Lord mean, really mean to us? I think we know it, and it's been such a stock phrase within the Christian community for centuries. Of course it has, and quite rightly. But I believe there are a number of indicators here, just within these two great psalms. And firstly, it's praise the Lord means to sing that new song to God. There we go, we're on the right slide now. Sing that new song to God. That's the first verse there in 149. Now, in one sense, this is a sore point, isn't it, during this COVID restrictions. And you think, hey, come on, God, this is not fair. I can't sing. You know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. How can I sing? Well, I think God's talking about a different sort of song here. A different sort of song. It asks much deeper questions, I believe. Like, what song are we really singing in life? Is it the world's song? Is it our own song? Is it an old song? Or is it the new song of God in our hearts? You know, this new song of God, we can't keep quiet. It's impossible. It's the song that just bubbles up from the core of our being. It's the song that comes with a fresh new experience of God within us. And the question is, are you singing? And what song are you singing? And as we sing it and praise the Lord as we do, it's as though we put Him back where He should be. The compass point swings back to God, to the Lord Himself. Praise the Lord. In other words, take your eyes off everything else and let's have Him back as number one. Let's have Him back where we need to be focusing our gaze. Let's have Him the Lord of all things, that first place in our lives. Whatever's going on, whatever is going on. And some of the rest of the Psalms, you'll know, they cover all sorts of stuff. And then they finish with the phrase, praise the Lord. Why? Because it's a reorientation. It's that magnetic north we need to be focusing upon. And then as we do that, as we surrender ourselves and all that we are to Him, and we commit to following him and being obedient to live by his ways, that new song will begin to resonate within us. The new song will rise within our hearts and it will overflow in praise and worship. We'll acknowledge what God has done. And through all of that, we will see and we'll know that God has done amazing things within us. So what song are you singing? So that's the first thing. But praising the Lord also means rejoicing in your Maker. That's what it means. Rejoicing in God. It's that taking your eyes off. It's putting yourself in that place. It's looking at your compass. It's being prepared to get your compass out and do it. And say, right, I've gone off track. I need to refocus. And it's about the whatever's going on in the circumstances deep within our lives. You know, it's about deliberately and intentionally focusing upon him. And on what he's done for us. And as verse 2 goes on to say, it's a call to his people, his chosen ones. Defined, of course, as the people of Jerusalem, the people of God in this verse. But the called are called to sing. They're called to refocus and to praise the one who's created them. The one who's put the original song in our lives. And that song lifts us and helps us to acknowledge our Creator. And it's interesting, it's in the assembly. Have you noticed that? That's one for the brethren there. If you've got a brethren background, that's your verse, isn't it? Praise him in the assembly. Anyway, that's beside the point. Sorry, I shall get emails for that one. In other words, it's the church. It's amongst fellow believers. It's God's design to be part of the church, the gathering of God's people. It's important to meet with the saints and to remember and remind each other. Do you remember a few weeks ago in one of the other Psalms, we looked at a lot of the R words, if you remember, and one of them was about reminding and being remembering. It was about being there for each other and repeating the things which God has done. And it helps to bring out that compass. It helps to reorientate us. And we need each other to do that. And it's about revisiting the facts and the experiences of what God has done. And it's really important. And it reminds each other that we have a God who's done mighty things. He's our Creator. He's the one who's made us. And our hearts and our spirits will rejoice when we remember. So it's putting the balance back where it should be. And as it says in Hebrews 12, therefore, let's not neglect meeting together. Post-COVID, this is going to be quite difficult because people are still a little bit reticent. And, that, you know, when the restrictions are lifted, you know, we get a bit closer and even more people will feel confident of coming. But we can still come back. And if you're at home and you're watching this and you're thinking, oh, I don't know whether I should come back to church. Come back to church. It's really important. Because this is what it's all about. We're here to encourage and build up each other and exalt in our Maker. Rejoice in our Maker. Give him the glory. You know, the first statement of the Westminster Confession, or Catechism as it's been called, but I thought I'd better not do that because it's... Oh, I've said it. Forget it. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Yes, that's what it's all about. And you know, that's about praising the Lord. That's allowing our hearts and our spirits to praise God in all that we are. It's rejoicing in our Maker. And that comes from that place of surrender, acknowledging that we are created, that God is there for us and what he's done for us. And it's coming back and laying our lives on the altar of worship before our Creator and our Lord. And the next bit is linked to it, to exalt in your King, because he's the one, he's the unequaled, it says, in greatness. He's the one in his sanctuary, he's on his throne, in his throne in heaven, in the throne room of heaven. Now, this is not some earthly king we're talking about here, or a man-made god, or a mere limited power. This is the great exalted King of all the earth, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. The God of heavenly armies, And there's enough of them. It's countless, by the way. Myriads and myriads, it says in Revelation. This is the God, the Lord God Almighty. He's the one who's done mighty works. And as we feel or show triumphant elation and jubilation, which is what exult means, our own spirits are then lifted. And we'll see the things we face from a completely different perspective. And that's the reorientation again. It's finding out, it's seeing where the pivot points are and where God says, this is where you should be. So are you rejoicing in your Maker? Are you exalting your King? And that's to all who are faithful. All who are faithful. It appears three times in Psalm 149. In other words, those who remain faithful followers and worshippers, those who've tasted of his goodness, those who've been honored by God. You have been honored by God. Isn't that amazing? He sought you out. So you're important. He has honored you. He delights in you, it goes on to say. He's called you, and he's called you to sing his praise, to acknowledge him. And it's about letting it out, folks. Let out the fact that you are honored, that you are called, that you are his people. It's nothing to be ashamed of. The world would say, shut up. All the more reason to shout it out. Shout it out. He's called you. Let it be heard. Let it flow. Let everyone know. Tell the Lord all that he's done and acknowledge it. Tell it as it is. And you can do it in a variety of ways. And again, Rich has picked up on a few of these. You can do it with dancing and tambourines. Yeah, okay. But the whole of your being is, it's about using the whole of our bodies. All that we are. And with everything we've got. And variety of instruments. All sorts. Strings, flutes, lyres, harps, cymbals. Everything. Trumpets. Amen, amen. It's about offering an expression of your heart through the gift of particularly playing or singing, but also through other created gifts. And that's why, in one sense, I've asked you to draw or to write a psalm. Use words. Use anything. Plant some flowers. It doesn't matter what it is, but be creative and give praise to God. Lift his name high. But the dancing and tambourines is very important. The musical side is very important. It's a sacrifice of praise, as the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 13. And of course, the psalmist, particularly, was familiar and he'd witnessed and was witnessing that which was going on in the temple as David had established it. And you can look at that in 1 Chronicles 15 to 17. It spells it out there. And the praise and the worship has got everything in it, all sorts of things, lots of instruments, lots of voices, people bringing all sorts of things. It was loud. I could dwell on that point. I think I'll move on. It was loud. It was exuberant praise. Even with David dancing without inhibitions. I mean, what is the state of the monarchy coming to? There he is in his linen ephod and he's prancing around looking, oh my goodness. Should that happen? Yes. Because he couldn't care. God was his most important point, person in his life. He couldn't care about what other people thought about him. He praised his Lord. Music plays an important part. It's a major part of it. But our bodies are there too. And it's about bringing our offering. Not just our voice. It's about our whole bodies. Let's be free to truly express our praise with every part of who we are. And if it's a joyful noise to the Lord, in other words, not in tune, who cares? Do it. And I was reminded of that profound phrase in the Wesley hymn love divine, all loves excelling. You know it? We had it at our wedding. Absolutely glorious. And the wonderful words at the end of the last verse, it says, lost in wonder, love, and praise. David lost himself in God and in praise. He couldn't care. Yes, he was the king. But I tell you, God was his first and foremost thought and expression. Let's get lost in God. Let's get lost in praise without inhibitions, with a great exuberance, because we've found our God. God has found us and we are in him. That is something to sing about and dance about and make a noise about. Hallelujah! Oh dear, okay. It's hard work, I know, it's warm. And then lastly, well not lastly, but the praising of the Lord also comes with responsibility. And this is an interesting dynamic in Psalm 149. It talks about having sharp swords in our hands to execute vengeance and punishment, to bind kings with shackles and leaders with iron chains, and to execute judgment. What is all that about? What is all that about? Why put that in a nice psalm of praise? Why ruin it with that sort of stuff in it? I tell you, it's not ruining it, because it's important. It's declaring that we are the army of God. Hello, warriors. You are the soldiers of God. You are in the army of God. We are the army. We are soldiers of praise in the Lord's army, the praise army, if you like. And we're called to do battle against the enemy as we praise the Lord. The power and the victory as we declare who God is pushes back the powers of darkness, the spiritual battles and forces which are at work. And more particularly for us in the New Testament era is that we have now Christ and the victory of the cross as well, which we can stand on. We have been given the authority to stand against the principalities and the powers and these evil forces in the heavenly realms. We can do it because of Christ. And therefore, when you and I declare who Jesus is, who God is, the enemy runs. And we need to be worshipping and praising God much more often. Otherwise, we allow the enemy to encroach and to steal that which is not his to take. It's God's. And you and I need to be the people who will praise and will worship and will push back those evil forces. You'll know the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. They were going out for a battle as Israel. Who did they send up the front? The mighty warriors? Yes, in a way, the worship leaders. The instrumentalists went up the front because it was declaring. And do you know all the army had to do was go and collect the plunder? That's all they did. That is our calling. That is what we're about. We need to dress for the battle. We need to be sure of who we are. We need to put the armor on, yes. But let's step out in boldness and in authority and in praise and worship and push back the enemy's hold in people's lives and over this world. We need to stand against the darkness. And then finally, it appears that the psalmist gets really excited. He's built it up. He's gone, praise him for this, praise him on that, praise him with the other. And it builds. And therefore, because it's the end of all the psalms, I suppose, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The momentum is built. Why wouldn't you? If you've got breath in your body, why wouldn't you praise God? Can you keep quiet when you really know who God is? He's calling his readers and fellow worshippers to come on, get in with it, join with the whole of creation. That's what we were made for. That's what we were made for. It's our first and foremost calling. And now, because of what Christ has done, and God lives in us, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, which puts life within us, is there. And we need to let everything that has breath Everything that has the Holy Spirit, the life of God, it needs to be released to praise and honor the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does it mean? A whole variety of things, yeah. And using the whole of our being and our body to praise him. And we're going to have an opportunity to do that. So you can wiggle.